Hi, you're listening to The Well Podcast, living water for a thirsty world. Join us every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock and 10:30.
This Sunday, we're continuing our series called Over and Over and Over Again, in which we talk about images of resurrection or images of Jesus in the Old Testament. Last week, we talked about Abraham and Isaac. And Abraham and Isaac are going up to this mountain, and it says, on the third day. That's what we're looking at, is that phrase, on the third day. On the third day, Abraham saw the place where he was to bring his son, and Abraham and Isaac are climbing up the mountain of Moriah. And as they're walking, Abraham says, the Lord will provide the lamb, my son. And it's an image of Jesus' sacrifice. Today, it's a little bit different of a story, but it's also kind of the same over and over and over again. It's a story of David dancing before the ark. It's from 2 Samuel. And it's a symbol of resurrection and this symbol of joy. And we'll talk about how David got to this place of jubilation and this place of joy. So let's stand together and let's read our key verse today together. It's 2 Samuel 6:14 through 15. Let us read together. David was dancing with all his might before the Lord, wearing a linen ephod. And he and the whole house of Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of the ram's horn. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. So David is dancing before the ark, and people are upset because he's scantily clad, but he has this reckless abandon kind of joy about himself, now that the Ark of the Covenant is going into Jerusalem for the first time. It's the first time the Ark of God is going into the city of David, into Jerusalem. But David's dancing doesn't quite make sense unless we know the story of the Ark, of what has happened to the Ark. Just like Easter doesn't quite make the same kind of sense if you haven't experienced Friday, Good Friday, the time when God died on the cross in the person of Jesus. That Easter celebration and joy just kind of seems a bit shallow, doesn't it? So what happened to the ark? David is dancing before the ark, but what is that backstory? That's what we're going to talk about. It starts in 1 Samuel chapter 4 is when it starts. The Israelites are going to war with the Philistines, and this is not new. The Israelites are battling with the Philistines all the time, and it's not this huge, big battle. It's now, if Egypt was fighting Babylon, that would be a huge fight, but this is, you know, like the Zephyrs and the Cubs. There's AAA ball clubs that are fighting each other, but they're always at each other's throats. They're kind of sharing the same land. Israel and the Philistines are fighting each other. And the Israelites have not had much success. They have not had much luck. So they said, we know what we'll do this time. We'll bring the Ark of the Covenant with us because God's on our side. You know, nothing to worry about. God will be proud of us of bringing the... So they bring the Ark of the Covenant with them into battle, and they're on their side of the war zone, so to speak, of the battlefield. And they start yelling and screaming. It was kind of this Braveheart kind of moment where they're, oh, freedom, and they're doing their thing and shouting. And the Philistines are on this side. They're on the other side of the battlefield, and they start to get afraid. They said, oh, this does not look good. They now have the Ark of the Covenant with them. So the Philistines start saying, we need to prepare. At this part of the story, we get an inner dialogue of what's going on in both sides here. The Israelites, you know, it's Hakuna Matata. They're just, you know, we have the ark. It's no problem. God is on our side. The Philistines are actually the better theologians in this story. Even though they are not Israel, they are outside of that promise. They seem to know God a bit better because they sit there and they say, we need to be prepared because God is the same God who created everything. He's the God who saved his people from Egypt. This is the God who overthrew Pharaoh or who led his people under Pharaoh's rule. We need to be prepared here. So the battle starts, and the Israelites and the Philistines come together, and the Israelites are completely decimated. Lots of people lost their life. And the Ark of God was captured by the Philistines. They captured the Ark of the Covenant. This is a very, very dark day in Israel's history. They go back to Israel. Those who were left go back and they tell Eli. Eli is the chief priest at the time. They don't have a king yet. So Eli is kind of in charge here, even though he hasn't really been doing a very good job, but that's a whole other sermon. They tell Eli, "Eli, the ark of God has been captured." And Eli dies with grief and shock. And then word is starting to spread. The ark of God is captured, and Eli's daughter-in-law hears this word. And she has been in labor this whole time during this battle, and now it's time for her to give birth to a son. And she hears that the ark of God has been captured. She also dies with grief. But before she dies, she gives birth to a son. And with her dying breath, she names him Ichabod. Ichabod means the glory of God is gone. Or rather, kabod. Kabod means God's glory. Ichabod, when you put it in front of the word, it means the opposite. God's glory is gone. Ichabod. She names her child Ichabod because she's so devastated that the ark has been captured and God's presence seems to be gone. There's no reason to worship in Israel, and there's very little reason to live. In the story, it says that the narrator tells us that the ark of God was captured 5 different times. It's almost as if the Israelites, they don't believe it. The ark of God is captured. The ark of God is captured. Have you been in that place maybe in your life where something, the news has been so devastating you have to say it out loud more than once. Just to make sure if it's real. The doctor said it's malignant. Or, I can't believe she's gone. I lost my job today. There's some moments in our life where we just have to say it out loud, hoping that someone will pinch us and wake us up. This is what's happening with the Israelites. The ark of God has been captured. The ark of God has been captured. This, in the Christian tradition, this is Friday. This is Good Friday. This is that moment when the disciples are there or the women are there at the foot of the cross and Jesus is dead. There's moaning and mourning and weeping. The disciples scatter. They're lost. They're hopeless. Friday. Now, a very different scene is happening with the Philistine camp. They have the Ark of the Covenant. They bring it back to where they are, and they have this celebration that is going to be planned for days of celebrating and feasting. And they take the Ark of God, and they put it in their temple next to their god. There's an idol there. His name is Dagon, D-A-G-O-N, Dagon. And they put the Ark of God next to Dagon, and they just celebrate. They're having a good time, and they close the doors to the temple, and they go out and have a party. But something interesting happens that night, on that second day, that Saturday, if you will. Friday is the day of despair, but now we're into Saturday. Something very interesting happens. In the morning when the priests get there, they find that Dagon has been toppled off of the pedestal, nose to the floor, almost as if Dagon is worshiping Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they think, well, that's odd. But maybe it's an engineering thing and they didn't construct it well. So they put it back up on the pedestal and think very little of it. See, on Saturday, especially when you've just experienced Friday, Saturday, God seems utterly silent. God seems very distant. Because God is somehow in the darkness. God is certainly not with the Israelites. They think God is gone forever. But just because God is silent does not mean that God is not working. That God is not doing something. In this story, God is working in the midst of darkness. That place where no one sees, but the place that God is doing incredible work. I think Thank you, Christy. Coincidence. It is no coincidence. See, my wife, Christy, I typically read her my sermons on Saturday just to make sure it all, works. Did you see that? I was like, what's the word I wrote? Coincidence. Thank you. It is of no coincidence that Jesus compared the kingdom of God to a mustard seed, to a pearl, and to a treasure buried in a field. Why? Because all of these things begin to show their beauty after they are buried and in the dark, where no one can see. The mustard seed must be planted in order to grow. The pearl is formed where no one can see, in the depths of the ocean, in an oyster. The treasure is buried in a field. Just because God is silent doesn't mean that God is not at work, doing things that we cannot see. Mustard seed, pearl, treasure. It is no coincidence that Jesus referred to the kingdom of God through these items. They are small. They find their beauty in the darkness. Saturday. Friday is a day of utter despair and hopelessness. God is gone. Ichabod. Ichabod. God's glory has departed. Saturday, God seems distant and silent, but there's something odd is happening here. Our God has just been toppled. Now, the story continues and says, on the third day, the priests go back on the next day. It may say the next day, so, you know. On the third day, the priests go back into the temple. They open the doors. Dagon is toppled again. But this time, the head has been separated, and so have the arms of their god. That's when the priests of the Philistines start to freak out a bit. And something, this is not right. He toppled last night, it was fine. He toppled again, but now his head's gone. His head has been detached from his body. So the Philistines, actually being the good theologians that they are, they say, we have got to get rid of this ark. If this is what God is going to do to our deity, what is God going to do to us? So they take the ark and they bring it to this city over here. This is all happening on this third day. They bring it to this city and they're like, we heard what happened at the temple. Don't park it here. And then they take the thing and then they bring it to another city. And they're like, no. We heard news travels fast. Don't bring it here. So they bring it. And then finally the Philistines do the unthinkable. The Philistines give the ark back to Israel. They're mortal enemies. The Philistines give the ark back. The glory of God has returned to God's people. That is the stone being rolled away from the tomb. God's glory is back. We had Friday, a moment of despair. God is dying. Then we have Saturday where we're confused and God is silent and we don't know where to go. But then early in the morning on the third day, God's glory has been returned. Death has in fact not won. Death has been defeated. Death is no more. On the third day, the Philistines give the glory of God back to the Israelites. And of course, they are filled with joy, and they learn how arrogant they were to just parade the ark of God in front of battle. Just, God's on our side. We don't need to prepare. We don't need to pray. We don't need to remember what God has done. But the Philistines return the ark. God's glory comes back. Now, years pass, and this brings us to our text today. The ark makes several stops in Israel. In fact, it kind of goes into storage for like 20 years. They bring the ark back, and Friday was so devastating, they weren't quite sure what to do with Sunday. When God's glory eventually revealed itself, Friday was so devastating for the Israelites, they didn't quite know what to do. So they actually put the ark into storage for about 20 years. It lay dormant. They weren't quite sure what to do with resurrection, so to speak. But finally, David says, I know what I must do to bring these people together. He goes and gets the ark and brings it into Jerusalem, and there is this dance of all dances. He's wearing hardly nothing, and he's dancing in front of the people with this reckless abandon. He doesn't care. He's bringing the glory of God finally to rest in the city of David in Jerusalem. It reminds me of that hymn, Lord of the Dance. I danced on a Friday when the sky turned black. It's hard to dance with the devil on your back. They buried my body, and they thought I'd gone. But I am the dance. And I still go on. Do you know that song? Da, 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 da. I love that last line. It says, I am the dance. I am the dance. And I still go on. Our story is the cross. And that story is told over and over and over again if we have the eyes to see it. It's as if creation is a pond and the resurrection is a pebble that's been thrown in and the waves just ripple through everything. The Apostle Paul says, God reconciled all things through Christ. All things through Christ. Friday is real. Suffering is real. And sometimes Saturday, that time of silence, lasts much longer than we ever thought it would. But joy does come in the morning. There is a third day. There is a Sunday. Death has not won. Our story does not end with suffering, but a scandalous dance of life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.